stay in the fight and tell him to endure hardness in chapter 2 and all those types of things there that he's trying to, either Timothy's having trouble and he's struggling and Paul's worried about him falling out of the ministry, or he's just trying to get ahead of it and trying to encourage him before something like that is going to happen. And then when he gets done encouraging Timothy here at the end of the chapter, in the end of the book, in chapter 4, he begins to talk to him here in verse 1. It says this: I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And so he's encouraging Timothy there to keep in a fight. Stay in a fight. Keep preaching. There's going to be a time where people's not going to listen to you. And to be honest with you, we're going through that time now, and I'm sure every preacher that's ever lived has felt that when they preach or they try to talk to people or they see what's going on. But now with the internet and with phones and all that stuff, all the different types of weirdos out there with all kinds of different ideas and wild thoughts and just crazy stuff, that everybody's just flocking to this wild stuff. And I mean, you know, back in the day, you know, you're against the charismatic, you knew what they believed. Most of the time you knew more than what they believed than they did. And or a Church of Christ, you dealt with a Church of Christ or a Seventh-day Adventist or Mormon or whatever, and it was easy because, you know, there was what a Seventh-day Adventist, he believed. And now, man, it's mixed up. They may believe a little charismatic. They may get some Seventh-day Adventist in the middle of it, a little Jehovah's Witness, and you don't know what you're messing with when you're trying to talk to somebody. And it is a mess trying to just minister to people and trying to help people. And the stuff that you have to deal with, the things that people come up with to say that you read in the Bible and you read a verse and they're like, I just think it means this. And you're just like, I don't even know where to start. That's so stupid. How do you think that could even be from that verse right there? It's like, how do you even fix something like that right there? And it's out there, and it's crazy. And what Paul's telling Timothy to do right here, he's saying, preach the word there in verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And he's saying to Timothy, it don't matter what people are saying. It don't matter what people are believing. It don't matter what's going on. You just have to believe the truth, and you have to preach the truth. I mean, you'll see it. I mean, everybody is questioning everything that's ever happened in the world. It's, you know, I've spent 6 years figuring out, you know, I was seeing a headline the other day, said I've spent 6 years figuring out that and how to prove that the Titanic really didn't hit an iceberg. It's like, you spent 6 years of your life doing this right here? And then, man, it is like they're trying to disprove everything that we've ever thought before, everything that's went on, that's not the real truth to this right here. And that's the way it goes, and goes on and on. And what Paul is saying is, Timothy, you need to finish what you started. You need to finish. You need to stay in the fight. You got called to do something, and you need to finish what you started. That's what he's telling him. And he's telling him, listen, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. This charge right here he's giving Timothy is for any preacher, any Christian, anybody in the world. You're going to begin to hear the things that go on in this world at times, and you start to begin to hear what, you know, these people right here are into parties, and they're drinking, and they're doing all this stuff, and these people at bars at the state line, and there's adults in here. There's things where people are having parties where they're switching partners and all this type of stuff that goes on these days that you begin to hear about, and you're like, what in the world is going on? And it's always been that way, and it's always going to be that way. And what he's saying is, there's going to be a time when people's not going to endure sound doctrine. He says, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And he's saying, when that happens, Timothy, what you got to do is you got to stick to your guns, you got to stick to the truth, and you got to preach the word, and you can't quit, and you can't get discouraged, and you can't get frustrated. You got to stay in that fight, and you got to say, I am not quitting. And that's what he's saying. And he says that, and when he says that, and he puts that charge on Timothy right there, he's not talking from a point of somebody that says, you know, do as I say, not as I do. He begins there in verse 6. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What Paul is saying right there is, Timothy, stick to your guns. Timothy, don't quit. There's a crown to be won. There's one day you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all going to be worth it. You need to stay with it. And I'm going to tell you something, son. I stayed with it. I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to go on to glory. And what I want you to know right now is I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. And I've finished my course. And what he's saying is, Timothy, finish what you started. That's what he's saying. Finish what you started. What I want to preach on tonight is this right here, is how to finish what you start. Let's go ahead and have another word of prayer. JD, would you pray for us? I have had the opportunity and the blessing to have a bunch of men in my life that's made a difference in my life, but a few men that have directly impacted my thought process on my life and how I'm going to live and how I'm going to finish and what I'm going to do and what I'm going to live for. And one of them, Brother Gary Boyett, right there. I remember when I got called to preach, I was talking to Brother Gary, and he said this. He said, Jack, if you're called to preach, then you need to preach. And that just, I don't know what that truth did. I don't know why the Lord used it, but it just went over me like a wave. And man, that responsibility that I had to preach the Word of God. And I thought about that, and I asked him, I said, what do you do? Just call up pastors and say, hey, I got called to preach. I want to come to your church and preach. And after he got done laughing, he said, no. He said, don't work like that. He said, there's places you can preach. He said, you can go to the nursing home. He said, you can go to the jails. You can preach on the street. He said, you can preach on the radio. He said, but there's places to preach. He said, if you get out and you're faithful to preach and you'll do what you're supposed to do, God will open up doors for you to go preach in places like that right there. And that right there has affected me my whole life. And with my life, the only time that I didn't have a routine preaching every week was I was in Bible school. And for those 3 years down there, I just didn't, I would preach on the street in the summer. They had some type of ministries going on down there, a place called P. Ridge, where you put your name in a hat and get to preach, 15 minutes and all that stuff. And I would try to do that right there. But during those 3 years, I didn't get to preach as much. But from the time Brother Gary told me that right there, I have preached the Word of God somewhere every week, whether on the street corner, on the radio. I can remember down here in this basement taking cassette tapes, and down there in that little kitchen we got down there where those tables are, getting a tape recorder, putting a cassette in it, sitting there preaching a 30-minute message, taking it up there to the radio station, putting it over there, going to the radio station over there in La Follette, putting it in that radio station over there, cassette tapes, paying $25 a week to put it on there, going to the jail ministry, doing the jails, going to the nursing homes up there behind the hospital in Oneida, just by myself, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You say, what is it? That's something that he put inside of me. And then the other thing is, I remember Brother Donovan, when I was in Bible school, Brother Donovan talking about reading the Word of God. And I remember him saying this. So there's been some things in my life, some statements that men have made that has just, I just can't get them off my head, and they've changed my life. And I remember Brother Donovan saying this right here. He's talking about reading your Bible. And he said, what you need to do, he said, you just need to get up early. He said, 30 minutes earlier or 45 minutes earlier or an hour earlier than what you're supposed to get up. He said, and you need to just read your Bible. He said, and get it done. And he looked at us and he said, if your boss asked you to come into work in the morning an hour early, he said, would you do it? And everybody's just like, doing what y'all are doing. Ain't saying nothing, right? And the answer to that question is, yes, you would. And then he said, is your boss more important to you than God? And he said, you might think I'm trying to browbeat you or anything like that. He said, but God thinks that way. He wants you to think of him more highly than you think of your own boss and your own employer. And if you treat your employer better than you treat God, he said, that is a travesty. And I just remember those things like that right there and remembering, I just don't want to quit on God. I don't want to quit preaching. He's called me to preach. I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, but God puts it on my heart to preach, and I've tried to preach, and I've tried to stay faithful at it, and that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, Timothy, you stay with this till it's over, and you don't quit. Don't be lazy. Don't be a bum. Don't quit on them. Don't quit on God. You stay with it, and you do it. Look over to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And I don't know what the Lord's called you to do. I don't know what gift that God's given you. I don't know what it is. But I can tell you this. People have a problem with quitting. And people don't stick to anything anymore. And it's hard. People decide they're going to start exercising. Or people decide they're going to start saving money. Or they're going to go on a diet and lose weight. Or reading books, or whatever it is, somebody's going to decide, they get this big wild idea that they're going to do something. They're going to start something. Right? They're going to start something. And not long after they decide they're going to start something, don't take long at all, until they quit. They just kind of, just a flash in the pan, and just, they quit. They start it off strong. They get excited and fired up and tell everybody what they're going to do. I'm going to do this. And then they just quit. And I was reading or listening to a video today. And a guy said this. He said, the average time it takes for somebody to quit something after they started in America today is 13 days. That's the average. I said, they're talking to people, I guess. I don't know how they do those surveys, but they said 13 days is the average. So a lot of people stick with it, and some people last, 4 or 5 hours. But the average is 13 days. 13 days to finish something. What I want to preach about tonight is this right here. How to finish what you start. Now, here's what people do. Is they get all excited. They're going to save money or they're going to exercise and lose weight and start walking or whatever it is. And they're fired up about it. And then what happens is they go to work and they think about it. And then they're all excited on the way to work about what they're going to do in the evening. But by the time they've worked and on their way home, they ain't as excited about it. And they end up coming home, and they do their chores, whatever it is, washing dishes, washing clothes, splitting wood. I don't know. I don't know what kind of chores you got, but there are some things that you have to do, mow the yard, water the flowers, feed the dog, whatever it is. And what people do is they end up, because they drift and they get in this, they just begin to float downstream, and they have no gumption to them to fight that thing. They end up just doing their chores. They sit down, watch TV, or they get on their phone, or they got sports that they have to go follow and take their kids to, and this practice and that practice, or whatever it is, and they're just pulled in every direction, and the desire that they had or whatever they were going to do, it just falls by the wayside, and they just don't do it, and they just ain't got what it takes to do it. And that's just exercising and stuff like that. But when it comes to spiritual things, it's the same way. Reading your Bible. So a bunch of people started reading their Bible in January this year. And they quit. They gave up. You say why? They don't know why. You couldn't. You ask them. I don't know. I just forgot to do it one day and just kind of got out of it. Or I procrastinated and said I'm gonna do it later this afternoon. And then got to the afternoon. And then got to the night. And I was like, well, I'll catch up tomorrow. Whatever it is, they quit reading their Bible. I remember getting in church, and I've told you before, Sam Gitt preached a message on reading your Bible, reading 10 pages a day. And when I got in 1992, 93, I didn't read my Bible all the time. It was up and down and in and out. And it was just hard. It was hard for me to ever try to get consistent with reading my Bible. And now at this stage, you know, I got to the point to where I started trying to get through it once a year, trying to get through my Bible once a year. Now, it's different. I mean, since the day I turned 18, I went to work. And I've worked every day, you know, 5 days a week, 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, sometimes 60 hours a week, sometimes. And if you're studying and you're trying to raise a family and you're trying to do all these things, it's hard to sit down and read for 45 minutes to an hour every night and give that much time to it. But here's what I have found out. It only takes 85 verses a day to get through your Bible in a year. 85 verses. And I've timed myself reading, and I've timed other people reading 85 verses to see how long it takes people to read 85 verses. And the average time that I came out to was a little over 11 minutes to 12 minutes a day. You read your Bible 11 or 12 minutes a day, and you can get through your Bible in a year. 11 or 12 minutes a day. And it's like, man, you can do that at lunch at work. You can get up 15 minutes early and read 15 minutes. That's it. And you decide that's what you want to do, if that's what you want to do. But people will have a hard time staying committed to even reading their Bibles. People have trouble being committed to praying. Praying's a big deal. Lord wants to hear from you. Lord wants to talk to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. God's going to answer prayers. And if you believe God answers prayers, there's a reason to be praying. And what can happen is we can be fired up about praying and get excited about praying. And after a while, you can tail off on praying and get to the point where you're, you know, you quit getting down and praying, start praying in your bed when you go down and go to sleep. And then you get to where you're falling asleep while you're praying. Or while you're praying because you're doing that right there. You was going to get up early and you try to pray when you get up early. There's different things that you can do to pray, and there's different prayers that you need to be praying. There's different avenues of your life that you need to be praying about. And it's too important not to be praying. And you hear a message on prayers, hear somebody talking about it, and you get fired up. There's different things. Thank God for preachers that preach on prayer, and you can go to the, you can get on your phone and you can watch a video and you can watch these old time preachers talk about prayer, people like John Ide, these different people, E.M. Bounds or George Mueller, and you see what all they did with prayer and those types of things. And I remember listening to Brother David Gibbs, the founder of the Christian Law Association, and I remember listening to him talking about his prayer life one time. And he said when he hires people at the Christian Law Association, he while they're there, he says, "I want to see your prayer list." He said, "If they don't have a prayer list," he said, I don't hire them." I thought, "Dadgum, pretty tight." But he's sitting here thinking, "Man, I've got a ministry about Christians, about Christians' lives. I don't want somebody in here that ain't going to pray about it." And he told stories about being with being with Lester Roloff, and being in a motel room when he was defending Lester Roloff and talking. He said, "Lester Roloff called me at 4 o'clock in the morning and said, 'You up?'" David gets, I'm up. He said, "Well, come over here. I want to get you to do something." He said, "Okay." He said, "I come over there at 4 o'clock in the morning." He said, "Lester Roloff's got pages and pages of stuff laid around his bed, over on the dresser, and all over these places." He said, and I thought, "Man, he's wanting to go over this case, and he's got all this stuff, and we've already went over a lot of it." He said, "I'm going to need to get some sleep." And I look at him. I said, "Brother Roloff, what are you doing?" He goes, "Is this the stuff on the case?" He goes, no, "This is my prayer list. I want you to pray. Ain't you wanting to pray?" "Oh, yeah, I was wanting to pray. That's why I was up." And he said, "Being around that man right there," he said, "I learned how to pray. And I've heard of people that's prayed for their kids and for wayward kids for years and for people to get saved. And I've heard prayers and answer to prayers, and I've had the Lord answer my prayers. I've had answers to prayers. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." But yet people quit. They quit praying. They quit praying. They quit witnessing. I had opportunity Monday night. We had a prayer meeting right here. We prayed. After we got done praying, went downstairs, got to teach a class on Romans. After I got done teaching a class on Romans, had a birthday party out there at the Huntsville City Park. So I went out there to my nephew to see a birthday party, and there's some kids out there on a basketball court, and they're done playing. They're all just sitting out there. Got to walk out there and hand them all tracts, and after handing them tracts, got to lead a young 16-year-old boy to the Lord. So what is people believe in witnessing, but you know what people end up doing? A lot of them, they quit. They just quit. They quit. Quit that. They quit going. They quit giving to church. They quit giving to church. Get too many toys. Get too many things going on. I remember thinking, you know, if a guy could get a I remember thinking about Dave Ramsey talking about getting out of debt. And he said, if you ain't making enough money to get out of debt, he said, then get you a second job. I said, wow, what about that? And I remember thinking, man, if you can't give to missions, what about getting a second job just to give all that money to missions? What sacrifice that'd be? What? That's not in the Bible. But I was just thinking, man, wouldn't that? I didn't do it. I just give out of my only job I got right now. I'll get the missions out of that. But wouldn't that be something, though? Wouldn't that be something? Just giving to church, and you know what a lot of people do? They get things on their mind. They get desires. They get toys they want, or they want to try to get this or that or whatever it is, and they get themselves so far into debt that they can't give anymore to the Lord. Giving to the church, they quit doing that. They quit trying to be a better father or a better mother. You know, you got women there, they want to be a Proverbs 31 mother. Proverbs 31 wife, Proverbs 31 mother, and they get excited about it and fired up about it, and after a while, they quit. Guys wanting to be a David. I mean, you want to be a David, young preacher, and you want to be like David, man after God's own heart, or a Jonathan, or somebody like that, or Gideon, or just these different men, and Abishai, or somebody like that right there, and then you get excited, you get fired up, and what happens after a while? After a while, we just quit. You just quit. You don't finish. You don't finish. We only got one life, and you only got so much time. Everybody's got the same amount of time every week of what you're going to accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, he said, I fought a good fight. He said, I have kept the faith, and I have finished my course. He finished. So how to finish? How to finish what you start? How to finish what you start? Everybody better get going, or I'm not going to finish what I started. There's a couple of things here in Luke chapter 14. You've heard this story here about the man intending to build a tower. And I just want to hit these verses down through here, because what God does here is He gives us the key to finishing. He gives you the key to finishing what you start. And it's in this chapter right here. And in Luke chapter 14, the Bible says this. Let's look down in verse 26. Luke 14, 26, the Bible says, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Now think about that. When you decide you want to do something, there is something inside you that wants to finish it. And when you don't finish it, you feel bad about it. And when you blow around about what you're going to do, and people hear you talking about what you're going to do, and then you don't do it, people make fun of you. You know why? Because everybody understands this. It's a big deal to finish what you start. That's a big deal. Whether we want, we're sitting here talking about it, it's a big deal. I mean, everybody knows. You know it. Anything you try to start something and you get to the point where you keep messing up and not doing it, it's like, I'm not even going to start anything anymore. Why? Well, I'm not going to finish it. You get to that point because why? Because you know it's a big deal. And you can see it right here. It's a big deal because other people's going to laugh at you if you don't finish it. Verse 29, he says, Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goeth to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And so what he's talking about is talking about being a disciple of the Lord and doing what God wants you to do. And he uses the example of the guy with the tower who wouldn't finish it. And he says, basically, if you're not going to be a good disciple and you're not going to do what I've told you to do, then you're going to be like this guy with this tower that was going to do something. And now what? He ain't doing it. He's just spending his life doing whatever he wants to do. And the Lord laid down a couple of conditions right there. And you see them in verse 26 and verse 27. And the first point is this right here, is number in verse 26. He says this, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So what you see right there, first of all, is if you're going to finish what you start, there's got to be a priority to it. And that's what the Lord's saying right there. He's showing you this right here. If you're going to be my disciple, you've got to put me first. if you're going to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're going to pray, if you're going to read, I mean, there's people, I'm going to start going to church and I ain't never going to miss another church service. And 2 weeks later, they miss a church service because they got a headache or because they're tired or whatever that problem is, they decide, I'm not going to go tonight. You say, why? Because they didn't prioritize it. If they're going to prioritize, somebody said this, if somebody said, listen, I'll give you $50,000 if you won't miss a church service for 2 months. Man, that'd be a pretty good deal right there. I would bet some people would prioritize that. You say, why? Because the emphasis they put on money. Now, if they sit down, what God's saying is this right here, is there are some things, there are some people that are not here tonight, and they got a good excuse, and they got something going on, and it's not that big a deal. But there's some people that just chose not to go to church. You say, what is that? That's because they're not prioritizing what they said they were going to do or what they're trying to make sure they're going to get accomplished. And we're talking about some of the easiest things there are that God begins to deal with you about when you first get saved, about going to church, about giving money, about praying, about reading, about witnessing, those types of things. And those are the easy things. But yet people just, I just don't think I'll go tonight. We got home so late, and we got to try to get ready. But we're just not going to go. You say, what is that? That's people that won't finish. They won't do what they started. Because why? Because they won't prioritize it. So when you look at it, what are the things that keep you from prioritizing the things that you should do? First of all, look at this. Go to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. So just some things here that you've got to look for that's going to keep you from prioritizing the goal that you've set before you. Number one is laziness. Laziness. It takes work to read your Bible. It takes work to pray. It's a work. Yeah, I mean, it takes work to get up and get ready and to come to church. It takes work. When you got kids and you're trying to get kids together and trying to get them ready, trying to get them ready to go to church, trying to get all that stuff together to get to church, and then you got to get home, you got to get everybody undressed, you got to get baths, you got to get homework done. There's a lot of work that goes on a Wednesday night. It'd be real easy to just sit down and say, you know what? I just ain't going. But if you prioritize those things and say, you know what? We just ain't missing church. We're just not going to miss church. You got to be careful because there are some things in this world that'll keep you from doing that, and one of them is laziness. In Proverbs chapter 21, look at verse 25. The Bible says this, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." They refuse to work. They refuse to work. Somebody that's slothful, somebody that's lazy, they just refuse. It's like they can't make themselves do what they want to do. They have a desire. They would love to be a churchgoer. They love to read their Bible through every year. They love to give out tracts. They love to do all those things that they hear people doing. But yet they just can't make themselves do it. And it's because what? Because they're lazy. It's because they're lazy. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. There's so many different verses in the Bible about slothfulness, about being lazy, about not doing what you're supposed to do. God made men and women to work, to get things done. And it may not necessarily be work, you know, in a secular job, but our God has made us to work. He made the man to work before the fall. He made him to work. The only time that people are happy are when they are working, they're getting things accomplished, and they're getting things marked off a list. People are excited, and they're happy, and I'm trying to save money, and I'm hitting it, and I'm saving my money, and I'm doing this right here, and I've got this idea, and I want to do this, and I'm knocking this out, and I'm getting this done. I want to start losing weight. I'm losing 3 pounds a week or whatever it is. Anytime you're in that mode in your life, whether you realize it or not, those are the times you're happy and you feel like you're getting things accomplished because that's the way God made us. He made us that way. Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse 19. The Bible says, "The way of the slothful man, the way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain." So the slothful man, the lazy man, always feels like he's entangled in this world and he can't get ahead and there's something going on and I'm just busy and I've just got this going on and these people are bothering me and this people are bothering me and I got this problem, I got that issue and I'm just in a mess and I got anxiety and I'm just, those types of things. People that are lazy, that will not work, and you're always around them, people like that right there at times, they're always frustrated with their life. And they won't get busy and they won't take care of the things they need to do to get out of the mess that they're in. You say, what is it? It's just laziness. The Bible says, let's look over in James. The second thing is this right here. things that you have to prioritize. You got to prioritize work. You got to prioritize it. Then the book of James chapter 1, here's what we know. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, or you're going to do anything, Jesus Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. So you have to pray. You have to pray, and you have to get God on the scene. Bible says, for it is God which worketh in you, but the will and the do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13 says that. So we understand that you need to be praying and asking God, God, help me to read my Bible. God, give me convictions over this thing. God, help me to motivate me. God, give me what I need, right, to do these things, to get these things done. But beside that, here's the point with that. And there's a lot of people that's going to pray, and then they ain't going to do nothing. They're just going to sit around and wait on God to do it for them. That ain't the way it works. You got to pray like it all depends on God, and you got to work like it all depends on you. In James chapter 1, look at verse 22, the Bible says this, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So laziness will mess up your priorities, and if you're not disciplined, you have to be disciplined. You have to decide, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay down. I'm going to do this right here, or it's going to mess you up and keep you from finishing what you start. So if you're going to finish what you start, you can't be lazy, and you got to have discipline in your life. There has to be a spot where you have to say, I'm going to do this right here. And to do whatever it is you're saying you're going to do, you can't get distracted, so you have to have those priorities right. Demas, Bible says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. I'll tell you what else keep you from finishing. Is having the love of this world. Things in this world continually getting you. Got this going on. Got this sporting event going on. Got this sporting event going on. I mean, you can look at it, and you're going to have the NBA finals that we're just over with. And thank God I don't watch any ball games no more and any of that NBA stuff. Couldn't tell you people's names or anything. And I used to be able to tell you way too much about sports. Finally got victory over all that stuff right there. But what the world does, it'll keep you going. And as soon as this basketball's over, the NASCAR started in February, baseball started in April, get to the end of fall, baseball's going to be having the World Series, NFL's going to be starting up, college football's going to be starting up, all those types of things. There's going to be the toys that you want in your life, the things that you want, they're always going to be there. There's always going to be, the world's going to be throwing this stuff at you. You can have this, you can have this, you can have this, and it's always going to be there. And a lot of people quit. Why? Because they love this present world. So you got to be able you got to look at the things of this world and realize I can't be conformed to this world, right? Another, look back at Luke chapter 14. Another thing are excuses. Excuses. Luke chapter 14. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The verse said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. So he bought a piece of ground that he hadn't even looked at yet. Now, people don't buy stuff they ain't looked at like that. They don't do that. So what's he doing? He's just making excuses because why? They didn't want to go. They didn't want to go to that supper. Verse 19 it says, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. They don't buy oxen without proving them first. What is that? Those are excuses. And then he says, verse 20, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, and obviously this is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and the servants there and doing the work of the Lord. And look what it says about the master. What happens? It says, then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. You say, what happened? He got mad. He got angry. People do this. They mistake God's graciousness as apathy, like God don't care. God cares. Read the book of Malachi. God cares whether or not you come to church. God cares whether you read your Bible. I remember a story one time of two couples were talking, and this lady was talking about some flowers. And she asked that other lady that was sitting, it was two couples sitting there, man, woman. The other lady looked at the lady, and she goes, do you like these type of flowers that my husband just bought me? And she goes, no, I really don't like those flowers. And then her husband looked at her and said,
I buy you those flowers. I buy you flowers like that every year. I didn't know you didn't like them.
So you never asked. Never asked. You say, what is that? There's no relationship there. He never even thought to ask. Now, ladies, if you're sitting there thinking about being mad at your husband right now, you missed the point. You've missed the point. The point is this right here. Do you know the Master? Do you know, is your life pleasing to Him? Are you doing what He wants? Are you finishing the job He wants you to finish? Or are we just doing what we want to do? See, that relationship right there has to be there. And he got angry because they didn't even want to come to supper time with him. That was the point. And so if you're going to prioritize God, if you want to be able to finish what you start, there's going to be some priorities that you make. You can't be lazy. You've got to have discipline. You can't love this present world. You can't make excuses. You can't procrastinate in this life about things. You can't put things off. You've got to be disciplined with it. The second thing is this right here, back in Luke chapter 14. Look at verse 27. So there's two things that you need when it comes to finishing what you start. Number one, you've got to prioritize the goal. You've got to prioritize what you're going to do. You've got to prioritize it. You've got to get a goal. You've got to get a plan. You've got to write it down. I'm going to do this. You've got to get it all together, and then you've got to prioritize it. You can't love mother and father more than the Lord Jesus Christ. What he was saying is, put me first. The second thing is this, is not only do you need to prioritize things, you're going to have to endure some things. You've got to count the cost. Look at this, what he says in verse 27. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There's going to be some endurance. There's going to be some hard times. It's not going to be easy. Jesus Christ is telling them, listen, if you want to finish this thing, if you want to do what I'm asking you to do, there's two things you got to do. You got to prioritize me first. And the second thing is, there's some things that you're going to have to deal with in your life that you don't want to deal with. There's some times in your life where you're going to face some things that you don't want to face. And if you don't face them, you're going to have an opportunity to quit on me. But you're going to need to know this right here. There's going to be some times in your life when you get that opportunity to quit. There's going to be, we're looking at, there's going to be some weariness. There's going to be some times you're offended. There's going to be times you're afraid. There's going to be some heartaches in your life. And when those things come on, and those things come about, and you see them, there's going to be an opportunity for you to say, you know what? I didn't sign up for this right here. And what Jesus Christ was saying is, if you're going to be my disciple, you're signing up for it. And you better know straight up, right off the bat, there's going to be some hard times in your life as a Christian that you're going to get just because you're a Christian. And if you're living life the way you're supposed to be. And according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 13. Turn over there real fast. Look at Hebrews 13, 13. Hold your place and we'll flip right back real quick. Here's what it says. Hebrews 13, look at verse 12. He says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. There is some suffering that comes on with Christianity. There are some times that you're going to have to endure. There's some times when you're going to have to say, you know what? I'm just going to do right. I get it. It didn't work out. Lord, I don't understand what's happening. I'm frustrated. I'm aggravated. God, this is hard, but I am going to stick to this thing. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to give it everything I got. And the reason is because you suffered for me. If Jesus Christ hadn't have suffered, none of us would be saved. He didn't take the easy road. He didn't take the comfort. When it got hard, you know what he did? He embraced it. He set his face like a flint to Jerusalem, knowing what he was getting ready to go through. And he says in verse 13, based on verse 12, because Jesus suffered, he says this, let us go forth, therefore, based on what Jesus Christ did without the gate, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Go back to Luke 14. So the point is this right here is that it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some friends. There's some friends that when you sit down and you start saying, I'm not going to listen to that right there, they're going to go, he ain't listening to that. What in the world? And what happens is when he decides to not to listen to something like that, they don't say, I ain't going to be your friend no more. They just quit inviting you. They just quit inviting you. It's just not hard. I mean, all you got to do two or three times is say, I'm not drinking that. I'm not doing that. I'm not listening to that. I'm not sniffing that. I'm not snorting that. I ain't talking to her. I ain't doing this. And then all the time, all of a sudden, it's like you quit getting invited. You say, why? Because people want to live their life the way they want to live it. And it's going to cost you some friends. It's going to cost you some people, and you're going to have to sit down, and they're going to say some things, and you're going to have to say, well, I don't do that. No, I didn't watch that movie. No, I don't watch that TV series because there's too much sex, there's too much violence, there's too much cursing, and I just ain't going to do it. I ain't bringing that in my living room. And when you say that, they're going to think you're a weirdo. They're going to think that, what's his problem? What's her problem? Why does she goody two shoes? What does she think about that right there? It's going to cost you. There's some problems. The Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what? There's some ministries that are hard. And God said, if you're going to be in that ministry, some ministries, that's hard. All ministries are hard. You say, why? Because there's a devil. That's why. And because there's a world that doesn't like it. And you're going to get wore out, and you're going to get tired, and you're going to think you're going to invite people to come to church. They're going to say, buddy, I'll be there. You know what? Don't count on it. They're going to say, man, I got right with God. I'm going to do right. I'm excited. I'm fired up. I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to live right. I'm going to do right. You ain't got to worry about me ever again, preacher. And a week later, they're out of church. You say, what is that? That's hardness. That stuff, that's heartache that you've got to deal with. You know what? There's going to be some loved ones in your life that you're going to bury. And it's hard. It's hard. And I'm not making light of it. I don't want to preach like it's no big deal. I'm wanting to say this. It is hard. It is hard. There are people that have lost people in this world. They've lost loved ones that you don't even know about. And they don't even talk about. And they still have to deal with it today. And they still think about missing them. They still think about how life is. And you know what? If they're going to finish what they started, they're going to have to work through that between them and the Lord. Ain't nothing I can say to them. Ain't no preacher going to be able to say, here's the secret formula or something like that. You say, what is it? It's a relationship with the Lord. It's the comfort of the Scriptures. It's the comfort of prayer that gets people through things like that right there. The peace that passes all understanding. It's not pretending like it ain't real. It's not pretending like it don't happen. You know what? It's going to happen. There's going to be some heartaches. There's going to be some tragedies. Look over at Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, the Bible says that Peter got put in prison. Look at verse 5. Acts 12:5, the Bible says this. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said, said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he goes right out of the prison. See what happened? Peter is in prison. And he is sitting down. And there are some people that are praying for him. And all of a sudden, he's sitting down between two soldiers, and he's asleep. And an angel comes up and taps him on the shoulder and says, Peter, get up. Jailbreak. All right. He's out. Straight out. Look what it says down here. Peter goes to their house where they were praying. Verse 13, and as Peter knocked at the door, at the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. These are people that are praying for Peter's release. He gets released, shows up at the house, and they don't believe it happened. And they said unto her, thou art mad. God didn't answer our prayers. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. This is one of those things that are hilarious. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with their hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, tells them the story. And they're all like, well, praise the Lord. It's all good. That's great. Now go back to verse 1, Acts 12:1. The Bible says this. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Verse 2. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. What about that? James, there wasn't no angel came in and got him out of prison. So how do you reconcile all that, Brother Jack? That's the Lord. I don't know. I'll tell you where I noticed that from, though. Is I was reading a book by Jonathan Gofor's wife. And I think it was her biography. And she had written a book, and she was talking about how while she was on the mission field, she lost 5 children on the mission field. And we read those books, and I don't think we really get the whole gist of it when you talk about how many kids they lost. But she goes through a spot where there was a lady there on the mission field that had a kid that was sick, and she had a kid that was sick. And that kid got better, and she had to bury her child on the mission field, giving her life for the Lord in China. Buried 5 out of 13 kids on the mission field in China. And I'm reading that book, and I'm just devastated reading that book. And she said, and I prayed and prayed and asked the Lord. And the Lord gave me this chapter right here in Acts chapter 12 and showed me the difference, that it was the Lord's will in both of them, and that we'll know by and by. And she said, that's not the answer I wanted. She said, but it did give me comfort to know that God heard me. And you see those things right there, and we preach about, sing about those things about Peter. But there's a guy right there that followed the Lord to death. You say, what does that mean? What I'm telling you is this right here. Jesus Christ said, if you're going to finish what you start, there's going to be some heartaches. There's going to be some cost that's involved. There's going to be some sacrifice. There's going to be some hard times. There's going to be some times when you don't know what God's doing, and you're going to go to a preacher, and he's going to say, hopefully what he's going to say is, I don't know what God's doing either. And he don't try to just start, you know, telling you you ain't got enough faith, or you ain't got this, or it's all going to be good and you're going to be a millionaire. I hope he don't tell you that stuff. What I hope he says is, this is between you and the Lord. And there are some hard things in this world that we all have to face, and we've all got our cross to bear. And you're going to have to get close with the Lord, and you're going to have to get down, and I'll pray with you, and I'll come and sit down at an altar, and I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you at my house. I'll give you as much counsel as you can get, but there is going to be something here that you have to sit down and get in this Word, and God will give you something just like He gave Rosalind Goforth. And that's the way it works. You say, what is that? That's heartache, and it's tragedies, and it's stuff that's just rough. And people go through it. And people go through it each and every day. Christians, Bible-believing Christians that give their life to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, go through it each and every day. And it's hard. And a lot of times you never even hear about it. A lot of times it's an unspoken request. You say, what is it? If you're going to finish what you start, you got to realize you got to count the cost. And there's going to be some weariness. And there's some times, just like Peter in Matthew chapter 26, where you're going to get offended at the Lord because you thought it should have went one way and it didn't go the way you thought it was supposed to go, and you're going to get mad at God. There's been times in my life where I sit down and I looked at the Lord and I said, God, I do not understand it. I don't know why you let this work like this right here. I've done this and I've done this, and this person's done this and they've done that, and I've seen this person and this person and this person do this. Why, Lord? Why? And you know what? There was no, okay, let me fix it. It was, are you going to still serve me? Are you serving me for the loaves and the fishes? Are you going to be real, and you're going to finish this thing like you're supposed to finish it? And if we could stay on the mountaintop from the time you get saved to the time you leave and nothing ever went wrong, who couldn't serve the Lord like that? But what the test of that is when things go bad. And then what happens is you can get offended. The reason Peter denied the Lord, the Bible says, is because he was offended at the Lord. Jesus Christ tells him, bring a sword. Let's go, bring a sword. He brings a sword. They show up. He cuts off somebody's ear. And the Lord says, you shouldn't use the sword. It's like, you told me to bring the sword, Lord. What's going on here? I thought we was ready to bring in the kingdom. The
plans had changed. Jesus Christ had a prayer meeting, and Peter fell asleep during the prayer meeting. And a lot of times we don't know the will of God because we're not praying, we're not searching God, seeking God, we're not doing what God wants us to do, and things go wrong, and we're like, what in the world just happened? And we get offended. We get offended at God. And because of that, we feel justified in being able to do what? Not come to church. I ain't going to church.
I ain't going to church tonight.
I've done this. And I just don't feel like going tonight. I just ain't going to go. I ain't reading my Bible. I ain't got an answer from the Lord. I ain't reading my Bible. This relationship didn't work out the way I wanted it to. I'm done with the Lord. Or maybe we're not bold enough to say that. We just quit. We just ease off and just go on the other way. Because why? Because we got offended. Acts chapter 13, John Mark got afraid. Acts 13, he got afraid. And Acts 12 there, we'll finish there in Acts 12. Acts 12, we'll just finish it up right here. What happened was heartache. Go back to Luke 14. Biggest question that I see with people is this right here, is how can I stick to it? How can I finish what I start? And there's two things that you have to do. Number one is you have to prioritize that goal, that you're going to finish something. You have to prioritize that goal. You have to sit down and you have to say, nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to work around it. Lord gave me a burden to start putting two videos out every week on YouTube to be able to be handfuls of purpose to young preachers and young people, just to get them excited about serving the Lord. It's called Spirit Stirring Sermons. Been doing it since November of last year. And Brother Aaron Bass comes in, he videos it, do it every Saturday. And if something comes up, I don't quit. He said, you just not do it? No, we pick a different night, we work it out, you do this, you do that. And you know what? You're 70, after a while, you're up to 70 videos, 15-minute videos. What's it for? Just for handfuls of purpose. You say, what do? You prioritize whatever goal it is you've decided you're going to do. And then you got to realize there's some cost involved. There's some sacrifice involved. And there's going to be some times you're not going to get to do something and with somebody else. You say, Brother Ross, sitting right there, got a church he started back in November, Thursday nights. Started giving out Thursday nights, sacrificing every Thursday night. Now he's on doing Thursday nights and Sunday mornings, going street preaching, going on visitation. You say, what is that? Sacrifice. It's priorities. People that do anything in life, even secular people, they prioritize that goal, and they don't let anything get in the way of it. And whatever comes up, they find solutions. They don't find excuses. And if you're going to finish what you start, you got to prioritize it, and you got to count that cost, and you got to be willing to say, nothing's going to stop me. And that's why Paul told Timothy, I charge thee, fight the good fight of faith. All right, let's all stand. I'll get Miss Robin to come up, and we'll just have an invitation. It's already 8 o'clock. We'll just have it for an invitation. Thirteen days is normally how long people stick with something before they give up. How's your Bible reading? How's your prayer life? 62 things that Brother David Gibbs prays for his wife every day. Do you pray for your wife every day? Have you quit doing the things that God told you to do? Are you just slow on it? This is the opportunity here to come and just reestablish those goals and say, God, I got to get this fixed.